I see the time for Salah. I see it start and turn my head away. I see it coming to an end and I turn my head away. I feel guilt and shame and fear. Why do I want to cry? Hi, guys.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome back to another episode of Minds in Neutral from your favorite hosts, Rina and
Shahad.
Guys, today we're celebrating my birthday and I'm so excited. We're out right now. We're going to do like a little desert birthday thing.
It's
I don't want to call it my birthday week. I feel like that kind of sounds cringy, but
it has been.
Yeah. My birthday was on Tuesday. It was 7th of Jan and it's been really, really fun. I brought all my friends together. Some of them are on their way. So that's why we're like, you know what? Let's take advantage of this free time that we have and let's film for the podcast because, you know, the business does not stop running. No matter what the event is, there's still some things that we need to commit to. And it's the podcast as always.
Facts.
As per huge. But now I'm 21. And that's a crazy age to refer to myself
I remember when you turned 20.
Okay.
You said it. You were like, and I'm 20. I'm like, oh my God, you're so old, blah, blah. And then, because I was like, I'm still 19.
Yeah.
And now you're 21.
Each year, it's just getting older and older.
You're just so old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because I turn it before you.
Exactly.
And your birthday is a while from mine. It's all the way in June.
Yeah. So it's 6 months away.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm always like, you're just old.
I'm just old.
What you're a grandma.
Yeah, I know. 21 still sounds kind of like young and fun.
21 sounds serious.
No, it doesn't.
21 is such a serious age.
I feel like when you hit your mid-20s, that's serious because 21 around the world is like, oh my God, it's the age to party. You're legal. You can do whatever you want. You can go to like certain places, which I won't be going to. But like, you get what I mean? 21 sounds more fun than 20.
Really?
Yeah. Something about it. It's just like, oh, you're 21. Like,
no, for me, it's the opposite. Oh, you're 21. Like, you're old. Is your life together?
Okay, why are you putting me under pressure right now? Like, anytime I've been talking to anyone, because I'm also graduating soon, it's like, what's your plan? What's your plan? What's your plan? It's just like this constant stress of like, I don't know, guys.
Leave me alone.
Please, yeah. Anyway, we really want to reintroduce weekly obsession.
Yeah.
And I have one for you guys. My weekly obsession this week has been wrapping jersey hijabs in like a full way. I'm not wearing a jersey hijab right now, but it has been wrapping jersey hijabs in like a full like cover. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. Something about the texture.
You did it last episode.
Did I? Oh, yeah. And then some people asked for like a hijab. Well, one person asked for a hijab tutorial, which, you know, maybe I might, you know, go into my influencer era and like fall into that. But no, the jersey hijab wrap has been my thing. And I'm so excited to like dig into that because, you know, like I feel like it's cute. It's different. The texture and the way it just fits my face is so nice. But I got some model hijabs for my birthday.
You did.
Shahad got them for me. I'm super excited.
I'm so excited to see you wear them.
Yeah. Me too. I want to see like the different styles because it's always like the usual, like, you know, you just put them across your neck and it's like, you know, that's the casual style that we see, but I really want to see if I can wrap them. Some people put like jewels on their hijab.
Yeah, I find that
like
so
little
pretty
clips. Yeah, find,
like the ones, the gold ones
that go on the side, or like there's like a brooch that you can put on the side, like also cute. What about you, Shahad?
My weekly obsession,
yeah, go on.
What
has been your thing this specific week?
I think it's being more feminine, which I say a lot. I know I do.
Yeah, you do.
But like, I feel like I'm starting to, my style is changing a lot.
Yeah, like the off shoulder sweater.
Yeah.
Hello? I don't recognize you.
Exactly. Like now, because I was like, I could have easily worn a hoodie, jeans.
Yeah.
That's, you know, called it a day. But I was like, no, like I really want to wear a sweater.
Yeah.
Or like a cardigan. And I really wanted to wear this blue cardigan for Rina's birthday.
And it's so cute.
It's so cute. But the only issue is the jeans I have are like skater boy jeans.
Oh, okay. Like
the blue.
Fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, ugh, it's so cutesy up. And then the old Shahad down.
Yeah,
so I was
like,
that's just so weird.
But those jeans fit you so nice.
They do.
They really do.
But it just doesn't match with the cardigan.
Okay.
So then I had to switch the style to like something that matches my style now. It's just crazy how my style changed.
Yeah,
because I remember like my mom would always be like, you need to dress, you know, more feminine. All that stuff. I'm like, if I'm comfortable, I'm good.
I don't care. Yeah.
I don't care.
And I feel like that's a Gen Z thing.
Yeah.
Because we're always in like sweatpants. Sweatpants have never been my thing because my mom was always like, you're wearing pajamas outdoors. Like, what are you doing?
Bro, I remember in year one, I would literally show up with sweatpants. I would show up with this baggy shirt.
Yeah.
I would actually look like I just came from my, like, from the bed. Like, bro, I woke
your
up
transformation,
and I left. Yeah.
Yeah, your transformation from year one to the final year is, like, insane. Completely different shahad.
Exactly.
Genuinely.
Yeah. So I'm getting shahad. Yeah, I'm getting used to this shahad now.
Yeah, but I love this shahad. And like, even like now, because this is really my style, like the stuff that you're wearing now, I'm starting to ask shahad, like, oh, where did you get that from?
Really? Yeah. Oh, yeah, you have been, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like, cute.
I might take this from you one day.
Yeah, because it's always shahad being like, let me borrow this. But now I'm just like, tables turn, babe. Like, I want to take this now. Like, this is so cute. But yeah, this week, we really wanted to talk about something that I think a lot of people in our generation can relate to.
And struggle with.
Yeah. Which is like, it's unfortunate, but it's reality. And it's the fact that some people could struggle with maintaining their prayers. Something as simple as praying your 5 prayers a day, a lot of people struggle with. We've struggled with it, you know, in and out. So it's just like something I think all of us can relate to. Yeah. And there's so many times where I have conversations with my friends and they're like, you know what? Like, gonna I struggle with this too. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. It's just something we all deal with. So what's happening?
No, nothing. They're helping each other out. Oh, okay. It's very cute.
Okay. But yeah, so I found some Reddit stories.
Okay.
Because you know what? We went through a Reddit phase and then we'd stopped. And you know, I kind of missed the Reddit phase. Like, it was actually a really fun time. And especially like seeing what people are saying online and being very vulnerable.
And we also decided that I would not know the Reddit.
Yes.
So I'm hearing this for the first time.
Yes. So I picked these stories and I'm going to read them out for Shahad.
Yeah.
We picked two. So one of them is a little bit long. One of them is a bit short. So we're just going to go through them and then we're going to give our opinions and see how we feel and everything.
Okay.
So the first one is titled, I'm feeling trapped, unable to pray, struggling with fear of Jahannam and Allah's wrath, seeking guidance.
Okay.
Very intense.
Straight to the point.
Title. Yeah. Like, this is a clickbait title. This is what made us click. I'm reaching out. Okay, so this is what he said. I'm reaching out because I'm feeling really lost and scared and I don't know where else to turn. I'm deeply fearful of Allah's wrath and the consequences of missing prayer, but I feel trapped in my situation. I genuinely want to keep up with my salah, but my parents don't allow me to pray anymore. This is where I was like, this is a completely different perspective.
Wait, continue. I want to know why. Okay.
My parents were once Muslims, but they've since stopped praying due to political views and personal beliefs. They believe that prayer alone won't bring success in life and that focusing too much on it will make me lazy and unproductive. Wait, sorry, because mom is calling me. Okay,
actually, something similar happened with someone else.
Really?
Yeah, like...
Like a person you know.
A person I know, yeah. They said that their parents were Muslim.
Yeah.
But then they're like, I just don't understand why me having to pray is the way to like go to heaven.
That's what their parents said.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Because they're like, if I'm a good person, why am I not going to heaven? Like, if they live a good life, they're good to people, they
do good in this
they
life.
They do good.
Yeah.
Why is it that if I don't pray,
I don't go to heaven?
I don't go to heaven.
Interesting.
And because they were Muslim and that thought came in their heads and then they...
You know, okay, I'll touch on it really quick. I think that's, it depends on the environment they grew up in. Maybe they grew up in a country where it was like extremist religious views that forced it so much that they just, you know, when something's too extreme, people will definitely run the other way. So probably that's what's happening. And maybe for this person as well. Okay, moving on. They also say, I'm too young to pray, telling me I can start later in life when it's more appropriate, which they believe is better than starting now. I don't want to turn away from my faith or lose my connection with Allah. I fear Him deeply and this heartache won't go away. I feel such intense guilt and fear, worrying that I'll become a hypocrite or worse if I don't fulfill my obligations. Adding to this, I've developed symptoms that worry my parents. Ever since I started praying more regularly, I've had issues with some sort of like health issues. Despite the doctor finding nothing medically wrong, my parents believe stress is causing it. They don't understand my fear of Allah's displeasure, so it's isolating me even more. They think that as long as you're good in this world, why would you go to Jahannam? Which is what you literally just said.
Yeah.
All right. I want to seek forgiveness every day, but I fear it's no use if I keep ending up in the same position. I'm desperate for this advice on how to hold onto my faith and cope with this pain. How can I stay close to Allah and avoid despair? Any advice, du'as, or comforting words would be greatly appreciated. Jazakallah khair. So that was the first story, which I think is a very, you know, when I think of like people struggling to pray, this is not my ideal situation. No. It's not like the parents that are like the making them struggle.
I don't understand from the parents' perspective, you know, how would that affect his life? Like right now, like, okay, if he prays, how is that going to affect him? Like, why, like, wait later on?
Yeah.
Until, like, how is that affecting his life?
You know what? If anything, because the person mentioned that, or actually, I don't know if this is a man or a woman, but the person mentioned that they are going through stress and they have to go to the doctor now and everything. And
because they started praying?
No. I believe, well, that's what their parents probably believe. But I think it's the stress of the parents and the stress of them wanting to choose their own path in life that's causing the stress.
Yeah, definitely.
But in the parents' eyes, it's like, okay, well, you're trying so hard to commit to the religion. It's probably causing so much stress on you. Just relax, like, take life easy. You're still young. You have such a long life ahead of you. Which we're not promised that.
Yeah.
Like, Noah's promised a long life. That's not something that was, like, written and everyone gets that, you know? But, yeah, I thought that was such an interesting...
That would just make me feel so guilty. Like, if... you know, like, the episode is meant to be about, like, oh, you know, sometimes people struggle to pray their 5 daily prayers.
This would make me want to pray more.
This would make me feel so guilty in a, like, oh, my God. It's just in my head. This person is trying.
Yes.
The person that's stopping them is their parents.
Yeah.
Like, and they want to.
And it's like, for some people, nothing is stopping them.
Yeah.
But then they still struggle, which is still valid. I mean, it's, that struggle is still valid.
Yeah.
But it's just crazy because, again, like how I mentioned, certain extremes will make you run the other way. So if it's like a complete different extreme of like, no, don't pray, you're too young, whatever, it's going to make you want to pray. If it's another extreme where it's like, this is exactly how the religion should be followed, like there's no gray, you know, between it, it's only just black and white, then, you know, it could just cause extremes. Okay, really quickly, the second story, it's titled, I Really Do Want to Pray, But I Can't. Brothers and sisters, please, if you have any advice, please help me find a way back to Salah. I'm so lost. I loved Salah. I loved spending time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I used to plan my whole day around Salah, but I started a new job. My antidepressants ran out. I came off my cycle and everything around me is starting to fall apart. I can't pray. I can barely fast when I used to all the time. I'm so afraid of this state that I'm in. I'm so scared of entering my first Ramadan in this state. I'm so afraid of dying in the state, but my body won't move. My heart is rock solid and unresponsive. I see the time for Salah. I see it start and turn my head away. I see it coming to an end and I turn my head away. I feel guilt and shame and fear. Why do I want to cry? Just reading this, I don't know why. It's like, it's kind of hurting me. Like, okay, I feel guilt and shame and fear, but that's all. That's all I have sustaining me. That's it.
Okay, I don't think whoever it is, their heart is rock solid. Because if it was, you wouldn't even feel guilt.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't even have written that post.
Yes.
You would have genuinely just went on with your life unbothered.
Yeah.
So the fact that you still have that in you, I think it's that little light from Allah.
Yeah.
And they're like, maybe it's a hard time right now, but Allah's still keeping that guilt so that when... it passes, because hard times pass.
Yeah.
When it passes, you would still go back to him.
I think, yeah, like you said, it's the fact that you still have guilt. Yeah. I feel like if you don't have guilt, that's when we're in a tricky situation. Like, that's when you really need to reflect on yourself.
Yeah.
But you're self-aware. You know that what's happening right now is not the right thing.
And it's not you.
Yeah.
Like, you said that you were not like that in the beginning.
Yeah.
So something... big must have happened in your life.
Yeah.
That
or sometimes the waswasa can be so strong.
Yeah.
It can be so strong that it can really deviate you and, you know, it might hit you in the most vulnerable point.
But I also feel like it's not only with praying, especially with this person, because they said their antidepressants finished.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true.
So I hope you're okay. First of all, like, if you're going to watch this, I hope you're okay.
Yeah. Inshallah.
And try to help yourself out with what's making you like kind of pause on life.
Yeah.
Because right now what it feels like in New York, just giving up on this world.
Yes.
And maybe try to find out what's the reason for that. Like, is it your new work? Is that what's stressing you out? Because again, it's not like she wasn't praying, or it's not like it's just guilt. It's if there's definitely something more.
Yeah.
In
there's
her
more to
story.
This picture. Yeah. Yeah.
There's
yeah,
more
yeah.
to her story.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hope she's doing well. I think it's a she.
I don't know. It might be a he. I hope they're doing well.
I hope they're doing well.
Because I can't imagine going through a mental health issue and trying to commit to a religion at the same time.
Yeah.
I feel like that would just make it 10 times more difficult. Because, you know, like, for some people, religion can be a form of guidance, a form of connection, a form of peace.
Yeah.
And then for other people, unfortunately, it can be very overwhelming and a lot to take on.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the way you kind of view it. It's the way you approach it. It's your mentality, I guess.
Yeah.
And you can easily slowly change that mentality to start looking at it in a way where it's like, no, this is actually my genuine and only connection that I have to God, you know, where it's prayer, because you get those five times, like, you know, I always see these TikToks where it's like, for example, whenever your friend calls you, you always pick up, and then Allah's calling you five times a day, and every single time you're declining. Like, that's kind of intense.
That's so sad.
That is so sad. Imagine the phone keeps ringing and you're just declining. You're looking at it. And I'm not trying to make this person feel bad, because I understand that they already feel guilt, yeah, right? But it's just like, it is really there for a reason, and it is there to set you in a path where in a world that's so overwhelming, this should be your peace.
Yeah.
This five times a day prayer should be your calm space, your safe space, where you can express how you feel, where you can kind of dissociate from everything. Like, I feel like this is the only time that you're allowed to dissociate. It's just like, you know, take that 5 minutes out of your day, five times a day, take that for yourself. And I feel like that's a way of like healing yourself.
Yeah.
It might not be the typical like manifestation journaling type of way, but there's so many ways, and prayer is definitely one of them.
Yeah.
You know? And I understand that like a lot of people in our generation, especially young people, struggle with committing to prayer because life is just so intense right now.
Life moves on so quickly.
Yeah. Like time is so fast,
bro. Like,
yeah,
it would be, I don't know, like, bro, look at the time right now. I came here at like 3:30.
Yeah, and it's like 5:19 right now. How did almost two hours pass? I have no idea.
And we didn't do so much for it to like pass.
And then there's also so many commitments that we have to deal with now. Like, you know, with these people, they're struggling because they have jobs as well. And we're going to be in that phase in life. And then you have studies and you have family and you have kids. And there's so many things that kind of can sway you and can make your day go so fast. But, you know, the thing is that time is short, but you need to make that time valuable. Because sometimes at the end of the day, you could sit on your bed and you could be like, what did I even do today?
Exactly, yeah.
Like, so much time has passed. I didn't even pray.
I feel like the prayers put a pause on your time.
Yes, for sure.
Like, when life is moving so fast, I feel like once you pray, you're putting that time, like, you're freezing yourself in time.
Yeah.
And just continuing your prayers. And I feel like, كمان Allah بيديكي بركة الوقت.
Yes.
You know, like, he gives you the barakah in your time. If you like actually take that time away just to talk to him.
Yeah. Because it's a very give and take situation. You cannot keep taking time, because at the end of the day, you're here because of Allah. So you cannot keep taking this time that Allah is granting you and taking it for granted and then just using it in any possible way. Like, again, I feel like prayer just really grounds you. It brings you back to not even reality, because sometimes we get so caught up in reality, but it brings you back to the reality of the akhirah, the reality of taking care of yourself, the reality of just like, just being grounded, you know? And then obviously I think all of these, like these people that are talking and the people that are listening and even us, we're all scared of the day of judgment, yawm al-akhirah. We're all scared of it. Like, it's nothing someone or anyone's really looking forward to. Even back in Ayyam Sayyidina Muhammad, you know, they were all scared of it. Yeah. They would think that it was going to happen in their time, because it's something that was always spoken about, and it is a fear. It's literally called day of judgment. Like, you're going to be judged on that day. And two things can happen. Either you can see that as genuine fear and, you know, like, you can get overwhelmed by it, or you can see it as your motivation to be like, I want to work for that day. I want to work for not this life, but the life afterwards. Obviously, this life we have to work for, you know, there's certain commitments you have to stick to. But it's just like, again, it depends all on mentality.
Yeah.
Are you going to see it as something that's going to be like suffocating you, or are you going to see it as your outlet?
Yeah, because Aslan, I heard this thing, it's where it's like, when you pray, when you do sujood, all of the sins
fall off you. Basically, yeah.
And when you don't, like, when you don't pray, you can think about it in a way where it's like, are you really like challenging Allah? And like, Allah's literally giving you like I'm gonna remove your sins. Like, yeah. That sins that you've did from this hour to this hour, from dhuhr to asr, I'll remove them for you. And you're challenging him, like, in a way where it's like, oh, no, like, I don't need you to remove them for me.
Yeah.
Like, I got this. Or, like, I didn't do sins.
Like, let's not forget the greatness and yeah. the kindness of Allah. Because he gives us so many. He's giving us 5 chances a day. Like, you know, do you know how crazy that is? As a normal person, some people struggle to give second chances.
Yeah.
So imagine constantly getting 5 chances every single day that you're here.
Yeah.
And then in Surah Al-Mu'min, from verse 23:1-2, it states, successful indeed are the believers, those who humble themselves in prayers. And this verse basically ties success to humility and prayer, emphasizing that prayer is not just a ritual, but a means of building a sincere and humble connection to Allah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you, when you're in that prayer, you're humbling yourself to realize that I'm just simply human. And I think that's also beautiful to realize that you are just human.
Yeah.
That you don't have to be so perfect in so many things, which this dunya expects you to be. And you can kind of take this mask off and genuinely be a true believer in the eyes of Allah. And there's no judgment. Again, it's yeah. a safe space. It's literally between you and Allah. It's just your soul and Allah.
Yeah.
Like, how beautiful is that?
Yeah, that is really beautiful.
Yeah.
The thing is, sometimes because of fear, because of how much fear people have, I feel like it kind of puts them on a pause.
Yeah, for sure.
And when you fear, because you said it before, we all fear, you know, Yom al-Iyama, Day of Judgment. It might genuinely move people away from it.
Yeah.
Which I feel like rather than moving away from it, we should try to find hope in it.
Of course, yeah.
And just like our previous episode when we talked about overthinking and how sometimes it feels more peaceful than...
Actually acting on it.
We're overthinking Day of Judgment. We're scared of it and yeah. all of that stuff. But then when it comes to the action, we're too scared of our little bubble that we've made
yeah.
that we don't even make the action, or we don't even think about making the action.
Yeah, and that bubble is just a mindset.
Really.
It's literally just you against yourself.
Yeah.
That's it.
And we said it before. We're just like, khalas, at some point, you just need to actually get up and do what you have to do.
I saw this one TikTok of this girl being like, oh, this year I was able to pray 365 days and whatever. Like, I really committed to it and everything. And in her TikTok, she was saying, you know, the typical advice is like, okay, start small and, you know, bit by bit. But she was like, one day it's just going to hit you. You are going to get up, get that prayer mat and go. And I feel like that kind of is what happened with me a while ago, where it's like, genuinely, shahad overnight, this motivation, I guess, this motivation, this also fear, but fear in a positive way, hit me. And I was just like, okay, my time is now. Like, I need to start today. Like, if I don't start today, I cannot keep on. Because if I don't do it today, I'm not going to do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then next thing, tomorrow is going to turn into a year, and then 5 years and 10 years. And before you know it, I'm just, you know, it's going to become a habit of me not praying. And yeah. it's hard to break that habit, especially if you're older and you have more things on your plate.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's genuinely just a matter of like getting up and doing it
and set it as a priority.
Yeah,
because as life will go on, you would have other priorities, like, you know, a task that you have to finish at your job or your school, you have an assignment due, and you would set those as your priorities, but then you would forget about the prayers itself.
Yes,
so set that as your number one priority,
because there's deadlines for that.
Yeah,
you know, like, okay, I get it. Technically, with assignments and everything, your grade is on the line. But with this,
Your whole life is on the line.
Your life is on the line.
Your future is on the line. Yeah. Like, but when you pray, there's so much barakah that you get that even when, let's say you're struggling with an assignment, just praying might actually just like help you out.
Yeah.
Like, it will just somehow, it would pop out, you know,
the
answer to the thing that you were struggling with.
Yeah.
So use it, genuinely use it to your advantage.
Yeah, for sure. And again, we know that salah is fard. It's not something that we can sit here and be like, oh, you know,
it's okay if we don't do it.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like one of like something that you have to do that's like sunnah. No, it's genuinely fard. Like, it's part of the 5 pillars of Islam. So as much as we know it's an obligation, it's also for our benefits. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been there. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 245, it states, and seek help through patience and prayer. And indeed, it is difficult except for the humble. again, you have to be a humble person. Maybe yeah. this is what's going through your mind, is like you're focusing too much on this dunya, that it's not humbling you enough, that you're forgetting prayer.
Yeah.
Basically, it emphasizes that prayer is not just an obligation, but also a source of strength and support in times of difficulty. And it encourages believers to turn to prayer when they need guidance and patience. Obviously, we're going to be tested. We're tested 24/7 yeah. on the dot. And I think, you know, like whenever you go through something so difficult, that's when you revert back to prayer. That's when you revert back to God. That's when you like kind of remember it. And I understand that, okay, like I don't feel like life should test you to the extreme for you to realize that you should have this in mm-hmm. your life, for you to realize that you should commit to your prayers, for you to, you know, like it's genuinely the basics of Islam.
Yeah.
Like when people ask me about Islam, okay, there's hijab, there's so many other things to do with Islam, but then the core of it, I feel, in this life as a human, is prayer.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Because you can't.
It's part of the five pillars of Aslan being labeled as a Muslim.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you don't do it, then.
And after a certain period, if you don't do it, you're taken out of the fold of Islam. Yeah. So, again, I'm not trying to undermine like how difficult it can be to commit to it, because let's just be honest, like life is hard, but life has always been hard. Life has been hard for people decades ago, and for people now, and for people in the future. But that doesn't give us an excuse. I mean, you see surgeons praying. Like, yeah. you know, you see people in the military praying. People in Gaza, people in Palestine. Like,
you see people when they're on the road. You'd see these buses that will stop on the side. And people will go down to
pray. And like, just like I said, like war zones. People in war zones where they literally don't have a home. They have nothing. And they're still bringing their prayer mat, or they're praying on the floor. And they're just praying, you know? So it's like, I think
there's this story about this guy.
Yeah.
He got detained. He was in a war zone and he got detained, and he genuinely thought it was khalas, his last day of being on this dunya.
Okay.
And the guy next to him, he was scared himself. The guy next to him was like, "Is it time to pray Asr?" Like, by the way, I'm telling you, blindfolded, cuffed, everything.
Wow.
And the guy next to him was like, "Is it time to pray Asr?" And he's like, "Yeah, I think it is." And then the people, like the soldiers, were telling them to like be quiet, or else like, I'm gonna shoot you, basically. Yeah. Or, you know,
it's like a life or death
situation. Yeah, be quiet, basically.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Okay, let's start praying."
Yeah.
And they prayed. I think he asked him. He was like, "How are we gonna pray? Like, I didn't even do wudu."
Mm.
And he was like, "Just pray. Just actually, let's start. I will qim wa minhum wahid minhum qam." And he went, "Allahu Akbar."
And they
prayed.
And did the soldiers do anything?
The soldiers didn't do anything. And people that were also detained with them joined them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, Shahad.
So and then he was telling the story, and he was like, "I was so scared of dying. I was so scared that, but even Allah didn't pop up." Like, he felt so guilty. He was like, "I didn't think about praying." This guy, even when such a life and death situation, the first thing he thought of was, "Let me pray."
Yeah.
I don't want to die by missing
Missing a prayer.
Yeah.
Wow. Ya Allah. Allah yahmihum. Like, this Allah. Is such a beautiful mentality to have. And I think it takes a lot. I feel like with praying, it takes a lot of your actual inner self.
It takes
self-control. It takes self-control. It takes discipline.
Yeah.
And we all need that, you know? We can't just live life hick and then... Because life will flash so fast between our eyes.
Yeah.
We can't just live it and be like, "Oh, okay, like whatever, the next day, the next day, the next day." Like, it really takes a lot of commitment and a lot of discipline. And just as much as you're committing and disciplined to other things, like just how you would be disciplined to the gym, you want the summer body, you want to be 10-10. Same thing with this. It's actually so much more serious than we think.
Yeah.
And it's something we really cannot neglect. And I feel like as much excuse as you can give yourself, there shouldn't be allowed too much leeway. Like, you still need to do what you need to do.
Yeah.
And for these people that we read their stories, you know, the first one about like the whole parent situation.
I truly believe that for you, for the advice I would give is I would continue praying. Hatta even if it's in secret.
Yeah.
They don't need to know. You know, once you go to your room.
Yeah.
Quickly pray. It's not going to take you 5 minutes.
Yes. because it's between you and God at the end of the day. So you don't have to like,
they don't need to know. It. Yeah. They don't need to know anything.
Yeah.
Go to your room. Be like, I have some work to finish. Lock your door. Pray your prayer.
Yeah.
خلص.
And then for the second person with the whole antidepressant thing, I think take that as much as you can I mean, I don't want to be a doctor here and be like, you know.
I genuinely think that you need to find what's making you this way, or, you know, what happened in your life that made you reach this. That point.
Yeah.
And even if it's so hard for you to get out of your bed right now, pray just by either in your mind or with the, like with your eyes and mouth or like just like ya Allah ihdini. Like if you can't, if you genuinely can't pray like properly,
pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray.
Yeah. Ya Rabb ihdini. Ya Rabb sa'idni. Ya Rabb yassir li umuri.
Yeah.
Like just while you're laying there, it's not gonna take that much effort. And if you can't speak it, say it in your mind.
Yeah.
But at least make sure that at least you're constantly having Allah's like
remembrance
in your head.
Yeah.
And I think inshallah then Allah yisahil alay whoever it is and makes it easier on that person and on everyone who's experiencing the same thing.
I think one last thing before we wrap up is try to find a really good friend group or community or just one friend that encourages you to do it, because sometimes you might have forgotten to pray and then that one friend is like, oh my god, we need to pray.
Yeah.
You know, so like even like with that guy when they were detained, like that person reminded him. So try to find that those people for you and try to be that person for other people as well. Because at the end of the day, we're all trying to help each other out. We're all here for one goal, one aim, for the same reason.
And so, there's no competition.
There is no competition.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like there's a specific amount of people that can go to Jannah.
Yeah, exactly.
So why don't we help each other out to go to Jannah together?
Let's all just catch up in Jannah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I hope you all are happy, healthy, and safe.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.